Hey everyone, Jordan here with a real quick announcement before the episode starts. If the dates that we mention in this episode don't make sense, that's because we actually recorded this episode way back before Christmas time. But between the craziness of life and my wife and I welcoming our first baby into the world, things have been a little crazy recently. This episode is a lot of fun and we think that it was worth the wait. One more quick announcement before we jump into the regular program. During COVID lockdowns, I started working on a card game and I spent the last 3 or 4 years creating the artwork, refining the gameplay, and playtesting the game with others. The artwork is all heavily inspired by the pixel art of many of the great 16-bit games that we've played here on the podcast. If you're into board games or card games, I would really appreciate you checking it out. Just head on over to Kickstarter and search for Soldiers of Fortune. The campaign will be live from March 12th to April 2024. That's Soldiers of Fortune on Kickstarter, running for the next month. All right, let's get to the episode.
Welcome to Worth It or Worthless, a show where every episode we pull a game from my own personal collection of retro games, take off our nostalgia tinted glasses, and decide, is the game good by today's standards? Is it worth the price of admission? We talk about what the game does well, what the game doesn't do so well, and the things that are just plain weird. I'm your host Dan, joined as always by my friend Jordan. Jordan, what do we get into today?
Today we played The Punisher for Sega Genesis. The Punisher is a story of one man's quest to make it big in the competitive market of pickup truck window stickers. Will he avenge the deaths of his family by making it big, or will he die in obscurity, never being able to live up to the popularity of Monster Energy drinks and Calvin peeing on stuff? I think that's what this game is about, really.
I don't know what episode that's a throwback to, but was it another comic? Do you remember when for anybody who's uninitiated, there's something about pickup truck stickers and Monster Energy stickers on trucks that happened in the history of this podcast.
This is just life. You just drive around for any period of time and you'll eventually see a pickup truck with three stickers. It will be a Monster Energy drink sticker. There will be a Punisher sticker, probably with like an American flag in the Punisher skull. And then there will be Calvin peeing on something that they don't like.
Yeah, but this is a post-Netflix series world, though. Right?
Yeah.
That's what the Punisher stickers spawned out of.
You think so?
I think so.
You don't think there were people with Punisher stickers before? You know what? Probably there weren't people driving around with Monster Energy drink stickers before that drink got popular also. And to be honest, I never saw anybody with Calvin and Hobbes stickers before the comic came out.
Of course.
So
Calvin and Hobbes. Like, that comic came out recently.
Yeah.
Recently. So The Punisher. This is a video game.
It is, yeah. So a few years ago, I think we talked about this before, about like I had a real strong desire to get an arcade machine.
Yeah.
And I fiddled around with maybe the idea of getting a real one. And then, Arcade 1-Up became a thing, which if you don't know what that is, are these like 3/4 size arcade machines that you can buy at Walmart and build like IKEA furniture and put in your basement. I don't have a basement. So it currently lives in our spare office, which is soon to be not a spare office anymore because we have a baby come in. And so it's going to be living in my closet. So, anyway, babies. All that to say, they put out this Marvel cabinet that looks amazing. Yeah. I got the special edition one with this beautiful yellow trim. And one of the games on there, I'd never even heard of this game before, was The Punisher. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up game where you can play as The Punisher and Nick Fury. And I love it. It is such a blast. Yeah. I beat it twice this week getting ready for doing this episode, and it is like, it's one of those games where you don't ever hear about it today because it's a licensed game and Sega definitely doesn't have the license for it. And Capcom, you know, when you get like the Capcom beat 'em up collection, which we've talked about a lot on this podcast, they're not going to re-up those old licenses, so it is just doomed to die in obscurity in 1993 and no one really remembers it today.
Although I feel like with Arcade 1-Up re-releasing sort of that in an official capacity on the cabinet and some of the other stuff that's been happening in recent years, I feel like it's not out of the realm of possibility that this gets a port to a modern system. Like, I feel like, you know, Digital Eclipse has been like, here's the Gargoyles collection. Here's that we put out the Aladdin and Lion King collection. Oh, we're going to put out Jungle Book DLC. Like, I feel like Capcom is doing a really great job, like servicing sort of what fans want And doing the weird work of like sending lawyers to wade through the nonsense of who owns these, like the rights to, because who owns a Marvel Comics game from 1993?
Yeah.
Like, and also Disney, probably. Does Disney own the Punisher?
Yeah.
They own all of Marvel, yeah?
Yeah.
It's just certain rights that they don't.
Now they've got everything except for Spider-Man live action films and certain Spider-Man characters, but they're playing nicely with Sony. But if it's an animated movie, then they own everything.
How do the characters get split away from ownership?
So in the 90s, Marvel was in big trouble. And you could have bought the whole company for like peanuts.
Yeah.
And Sony's like, hey, we want to buy Spider-Man. And Marvel's like, do you want to buy the whole company? Buy Marvel. And they're like, no, we just want Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they bought it for like the rights.
Yeah.
For nothing. And for years we had Spider-Man like separated from all the rest of the Marvel characters, and they were slowly trying to acquire all their characters back. Cause they had sold Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer and some of those like X-Men to Fox. And so Fox had some of the Marvel universe and Sony had some of the Marvel universe. And so they slowly accumulated it all back. Now they got pretty much everything they want.
I'm surprised that they haven't been able to like pry live action Spider-Man movies out of Sony's hands.
It came real close. And the only reason, I love this story so much. The only reason that Marvel even like gets to play with like having Tom Holland and Spider-Man and all this stuff is because James Franco made that movie about North Korea. Did you remember this? The interview? Okay. No. James Franco makes a movie about North Korea that's very like inappropriate and not, not portraying North Korea in a good light. And North Korea hacks Sony and dumps like all of their stuff out onto the internet, including some transcripts of meetings that make like the Sony executives look really bad. And basically like them admitting that they don't know what to do with Spider-Man. This is in the middle of the Andrew Garfield movies where things are not going the way they want to.
Okay.
And Marvel's making big money at the box office and people are kind of like, how do you mess up Spider-Man, right? And so this comes out, this whole thing comes out, including an anecdote about I can't remember her name, Pascal, the lady at Sony, about her like throwing her sandwich at Kevin Feige because she was mad about him trying to get Spider-Man. Anyway, like all this stuff was really embarrassing for Sony.
Okay.
And essentially the aftermath of that was Sony deciding that they needed to work with Marvel. And then, they still have gone on to make some really poor choices like Morbius and greenlighting a Kraven movie that's supposed to come out next year with
Golly.
Yeah, and something else, a Madam Web movie. Like it's like we know two Venom movies, which I guess people kind of like, but Venom without Spider-Man, do we really want that?
I think I saw the first Venom movie, and I think the portrayal of Venom is interesting, but I don't think the story was great in it.
Do you think it would have been better if there was a Spider-Man?
I don't know. I remember taking away. It was just like, oh, they did a good job with this character and Tom Hardy. And that was about it. I was like, I think this is a dumb movie, but I think the portrayal of Venom is interesting. Anyway,
all that to say.
Back to Punisher. Marvel arcade games. They also put the Avengers on an arcade one up, right? Captain America and the Avengers. I think Data East.
Yeah,
that guy.
They do. So like back when I was buying this, that was not an option.
But yeah,
I think you're right. They did. They did later on add that.
Yeah, I'm wondering what else is on that cabinet because they also throw a bunch of fighting games, which will lead into my fun facts. Yes, arcade games, arcade one up, Marvel.
Those are all words. Those are all words.
Probably just moving to fun facts.
That's fine. Yeah.
Stop rambling. Trying to figure out what I'm saying. This one developed and published by Capcom.
Capcom.
And apparently this partnership spawned Marvel versus Capcom, the series, with the partnership of Marvel and Capcom working together gave us that beautiful fighting game series, which makes me feel like I know what I'm doing in a video game because I just have to hit buttons and then the screen like explodes and lights up.
Yes.
So Marvel versus Capcom.
This game like really did have a big impact on that relationship between Marvel and Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
It, today most people probably don't know anything about the Punisher arcade game, but it was one of the top 10 arcade games in 1993. And the success of that went on to make them make all these other games.
Yeah, that's actually like surprising.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't know what was going on in the arcades in 1983. But I'm like, it's weird because people, if it seems like the people who know about the Punisher arcade game are just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
They just wish everybody knew about it.
Yeah, I love it, man. It is such a cool game. So I think part of it is we've played so many bad licensed games that when you're like, hey, they actually like did this character right and they made a fun game, like it's a really low bar for me for licensed games. It's like, hey, look at this. It's not, I mean, you guys have heard me talk about how much I love Captain America and the Avengers, and that you know, like if we're being honest, I think I have it in my top, like my top 15 games on our list or something. It's like, yeah, is it really? No. But it's something that, it's two things that I love: retro video games, beat 'em up games, and Marvel. And so like, there's such a low bar for these licensed games. And it's, for I think you, it's why people go so crazy about the Lego, Star Wars, Lego, like all of those games. 'Cause it's like, they have this formula that just works and you can apply any IP to it and people get excited about it.
I don't understand how those Lego Star Wars games keep getting made
and remade.
It's just, it's bizarre to me because like I enjoyed like Lego Star Wars, like just personally. But it's like, it's what are they doing differently to these games that are like, let's make one for Force Awakens. Let's make a Skywalker Saga collection. Let's make a, like, I don't understand where they keep pulling them from.
They're letting you play through the story. You do the exact same thing in every Lego game.
Yeah.
But you're playing through the story and you're getting to relive it and you get to play as all these different characters. And as I'm saying, there's a very low bar when it comes to a good licensed game. Man. So as long as it's fun and satisfying and you're not like banging your head against the wall, like, there you go. You just made a good licensed game, which is just what blows my mind about the fact that that Avengers game failed so hard. It's like you didn't have to do something new or exciting. You just needed to take these characters that we all love and make a fun game. You didn't need to like do anything beyond that.
I feel like I played a little bit of the Avengers. I think I started the campaign on it. And I was like, this is fun. But I don't think I got to the actual like live service grindy portion of it.
I don't think the developers got to that part of it either.
But yeah, that sounds like a classic, like modern AAA developer jumping on the what's popular bandwagon and trying to shove something in at that. Sounds like it has potential on paper, but in execution, it probably was just like, people don't want this.
We're like 15 years into Marvel, like since Iron Man 1. And besides the Spider-Man games, there hasn't been a AAA Marvel game that like just took the world by storm. And it's like, how is that possible? How does there not a
Spider-Man?
That's what I'm saying. Spider-Man.
Okay.
Besides Spider-Man, which is on PlayStation, and the rest of us are just left being like,
that
looks cool. You know, we got Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 or whatever Switch, which was cool, but not like a big AAA game.
Yeah.
So, but like, I was like, where's the Iron Man game? Where's the Thor game? The Captain America game? Like, there's literally should
Guardians
have been
of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
People like that game.
Yeah.
People liked it.
That's true.
I haven't played it.
That's true. But I'm saying we just thought of like two examples.
Yeah.
When there's been like 40 movies in that time frame, it's like, where are all these Marvel games?
I've been part of why I've only been half listening to you for the last like, 30 seconds.
What's new?
I don't know much about the Avengers game that came out, although I picked it up when they put it on fire sale because it was getting delisted. So I have it in my PlayStation library, picked it up for $4.
That sentence tells you everything you need to know about that game, though, right? It was on fire sale because it was getting delisted. Yeah,
and me. I can't not have that. I might want to play it someday. You never know.
Maybe.
Didn't want to play it for the last 2 years, but I might want to play it now. is there space for a Marvel MMO?
I'm probably not the right person to ask about that.
I mean, just think about it, right?
Wasn't there a Something of Heroes or wasn't there a Marvel MMO, City of Heroes or something like that?
I don't think that was Marvel licensed. I think City of Heroes was its own thing. But I'm wondering, because like DC Universe Online has been
sure
like...
sure there was a Marvel MMO.
DC has had their MMO chugging along since the PS3, and I think a PS5 port of it came out sort of recently, possibly. I mean, I could be a little bit off on that, but...
There was Marvel Universe Online.
Marvel Universe Online. What system?
Made by the same people who made DC Universe Online.
Of course. When? Was that a PC thing or was it consoles or what?
I don't know. But I feel like that's MMOs are not like really where the cultural zeitgeist is right now.
No, unless you trick people into playing an MMO, which is always something that I've...
Wait, what's an example of...
All right,
let's hear
it. I'm right there. Destiny. I got super into Destiny.
Destiny's an MMO?
That's exactly it, right? And that's the problem. Like, I got stuck on this thing until I got literally too busy from school at the time to keep playing it. This Destiny thing eclipsed like all of the gaming time.
Yeah.
And I like wanted to play other stuff, but I was hooked on Destiny.
Yeah.
And I was like, they tricked me into playing an MMO because I didn't know it was an MMO until I like just couldn't stop playing this game for hundreds of hours.
I tried to tell you, man, about Destiny.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Any game where you spend most of your time shooting into a cave, like...
Stop. Just stop. Destiny is so good. Destiny is so good. I'm like, still to this day, like, okay, I quit playing Destiny, I want to say in early 2019.
Okay.
It might have been early 2018. It was whenever Forsaken came out, whatever that expansion was on Destiny 2. But... to this day, like 4 to 5 years later, I still get the whispers of like, I should go play some, I should get back into Destiny.
That's some powerful and like, addiction.
Every part of me is like, that is a terrible idea and you will not.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that I don't like the game. It's that I like playing a variety of games almost at all times. I just like, you know, I have broad taste in games and I'm like, I'm jumping from Castle Crashers to these strategy games to like this racing game I just picked up to like Mario 3 to I just tried out Fire Emblem on GBA. It's like, I want to play a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But the Siren Song of Destiny is still there to this day, years later. And I'm like, man,
You only need one game. Play me, Dan.
Right. So that's probably how people feel about like World of Warcraft. Like, I've never played it and I won't because of the way people talk about that game. But it's like that MMO addiction thing, I think is...
I think my favorite...
Maybe Avengers could work for that.
But. My favorite MMO is probably The Punisher on Genesis. If I had to pick one.
Two players is massively...
Yeah, it's massively multiplayer. Massively. Do you got any more massively fun facts for us?
Massively fun? No, there's zero of those on this list. Slightly fun? Maybe.
We're pushing it.
All right, tell me if this one's fun for you.
Okay.
Released in the arcades of April of 1993.
That's it? That's the extent of it?
Is that one fun?
It's a fact.
It is a fact. Okay, how about this one? Released on the Sega Genesis, November... of 1994 in North America, April of 1995 in Europe.
Wow, that was quite the gap. I guess they realized they had a hit in the arcade and then they ported it. That makes sense.
Quite the gap. It was 5 months later.
Wait, no, you said April of 93.
No.
I know. Okay.
Yes. Arcade was April of 93.
To November of 94. That's like a year and a half.
That is a year and a half.
And then a little bit later, it came out other places.
Yes. April of 95.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not fun, but it is a fact.
Well, the Genesis version was a commercial failure, Jordan, and it was probably because of that gap.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. Where, like, beat-em-up games, you're not like, it's fun, but it's not like you're going to like keep going back over and over and over again for like a year and a half by the time
you get to... I don't know, man. I mean...
I'm talking to the wrong guy.
You are talking to the wrong guy, because I feel like beat-em-ups are the perfect game to... go back to every 3 to 6 months of like, you just play through it. It's 40 minutes. You can beat it. It's not, a lot of them aren't like obnoxiously retro hard.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, your friend's coming over. You're having a sleepover. You're just going to play through Streets of Rage 2. Cause like, that's a great game. And you always like going back to it or whatever. So I feel like, you know, this one, I don't know. Beat 'em ups, man.
Yeah. Beat 'em ups.
You beat them up.
You do. That's a fact.
Yeah. I don't know. So this version was a commercial failure. I don't know if it was just timing or what it was, but it didn't sell well.
Yeah, I don't want to try to speculate on why. I mean, the 90s comics were a little bit not great. But, I mean, they really leaned into like the grim, dark aspect, and Punisher is like very much that. He comes with all his own pouches already, which was a big thing in the 90s comics. Do you ever go back?
Pouches.
And, yeah, dude, go look at 90s comics.
That's hilarious.
Everybody's got zippers everywhere and pouches everywhere. That's how you make somebody edgy. You give them lots of cargo pockets.
That's true. I'm a fan of, big fan of gears.
Like buckles.
Yeah.
Leather buckles everywhere.
And at times there are certain like character models on Gears of War where you're staring at the model as you're waiting to load into a match and you're starting to like look at the clothes and you're like, this person just has sleeves wrapped around their waist. Like literally, yeah. It's not a sweatshirt. It's just, they have sleeves tied around their waist and a,
In case your arms get cold.
Or just like unnecessary pockets or like, you know, it's pouches. Just make it look cool. Like it doesn't have to be practical. Just make it look cool.
Yeah.
Video games. You don't have to explain things. You just do them, right?
Maybe.
Speaking of the commercial failure of the Punisher, this may or may not be a fun fact, but the PAL version apparently is super rare.
Yeah. Oh man. Well. When we get to the worth it or worthless section and talk about
the
amount of money this game goes for, I may have some regret about giving this game to you.
We should say this was a birthday present.
Yeah.
Was it last year, 2 years ago?
Two years ago. It finally made its way off the shelf.
Made its way off the shelf.
We got to play
this episode.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if I want to play a game on the podcast, I give it to Dan as a birthday present, and then a few years later, he might look at it.
Oh, my word. Goodness. Whatever, man. Jordan's like, subconsciously trying to manipulate me.
No, not subconsciously. Very forthright with you. Buying Rampart for you, multiple copies, because we need to play this game. I'm buying Punisher for you, not because I want you to have it, but because we need to play it on the podcast. Because
I need an excuse to...
The rule is we only cover games from your personal collection, so if I want to play a game that's not there, I'm going to buy it.
Typically. We've branched out from that in the last couple of years, but... PlayStation version was in development, Jordan, but never completed.
That. Yeah, that would have been interesting because it probably would have been a more faithful port of the original.
Yeah, it's too bad. Like, I feel like early 3D games are often notoriously terrible.
Yeah.
So when you get like a nice like 2D PS1 port or something, or it's just like, oh, yeah.
They could have done it.
Yeah.
They could have done it right.
Like, you get like the PS1 version of Batman Forever, and you're just like, this is a great 2D
game. Please stop.
Speaking of licensed games.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I think of a licensed game. Batman Forever on the PlayStation, where they're like, wow, we only made like 1/5 of a game. What should we do? Well, just make the explosions really big. And then you won't be able to see anything else in the game. And then you don't have to worry about doing any more graphics.
For anybody who's uninitiated, a couple things. One, I think Batman Forever is the most expensive game in my collection now, which is a much different story than when we covered it on the podcast. And two, you should check that game out on YouTube. But there's going to be a seizure warning.
Yeah.
Because the screen explodes every... 6, 7, 8 seconds?
Milliseconds.
Where you don't know what's going on, but your character's like gliding around the screen and exploding and floating. What a game.
Yeah, let's see. It is currently, what was that for? That's for PlayStation?
PS1, probably $300 and some complete.
Why is it giving me all the PAL stuff? It must not know what region I'm in. Batman Forever Arcade, $315.
Also, there's like 100 versions of Batman Forever, so that's also probably why it's giving you
There are
a bunch of different versions. So, anyways, Jordan, last fun fact, the Genesis version of Punisher was more censored than the arcade version.
Oh, yeah.
What a shock.
The arcade version is pretty bloody, and Nick Fury is always smoking a stogie. Yeah. And they got rid of the smoking, got rid of most of the blood. Not all the blood, but most of the blood. And yeah, it's not like a deal breaker, but it's definitely a home console version. I love that they didn't even we're not even going to attempt to put this on Nintendo because it's just literally an hour of murder.
So Jordan likes to throw shade at Batman for being a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I sent Jordan a text yesterday after watching footage of the arcade version of The Punisher. And I was just like, this dude is just like murdering. Like,
yes.
People like to joke about like Nathan Drake in Uncharted just being like a mass murderer. And I kind of feel like that's The Punisher. And I'm like, how is this guy like a hero? And you're like, well, he's an anti-hero. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This guy's just going out and like repaying murder with murder. Like, this is that, the difference. How is he a hero? Like, this what is the going difference. On? You're talking about Batman being a bad guy?
Batman considers himself a hero. Everyone mm-hmm. around him considers Batman a hero.
Yeah.
Everyone who reads Batman considers him a hero. Frank Castle, the Punisher, doesn't consider himself a hero. He doesn't think he's a bad guy, but he knows that he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
So he like admits it. Even in like the cutscene of this game, he's like, the day my family was killed, Frank Castle died and the Punisher was born. And like my whole mission is to go and
kill
all the bad guys.
And the last line is, if you're guilty, you're dead.
Yeah.
What is
I'm not saying he's a good guy. He's not saying he's a good guy.
What is that?
It makes me want to... it makes me want to drink some Monster Energy drink and pee on a Chevy logo. That's what it makes me want to do.
Yeah, Chevy logo.
Yeah, well, I guess that doesn't probably make as much sense if you don't live in Southeast Michigan, where there's like heated rivalries the big three auto companies.
Or Ohio State, or like any number of things that people just have rivalries about.
I feel like when I was a kid, though, it was always like the other auto company's logo.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty common one.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, like this game is the arcade version of it's pretty ripe for just being a violent experience.
Yeah. The Punisher will be very violent. And we've talked, I told you about this, Dan, that in the cutscenes, which you don't get as many of in the home console port, but in the arcade version, like you're on a bus and you beat this boss and Frank's holding him up in the air and like holding his pistol to the guy's face. And he gets the information he needs from him. And then he just shoots the guy in the head and kills him.
Yep.
And if you play as Nick Fury,
right,
it's the same thing. Nick's holding him up there and he gets the information he needs. And then he just like kicks the guy out the back window. So it's like
a movie
vehicle,
right?
They do adjust what's happening based on which character is doing the bad deed.
Of course. That Nick Fury thing reminds me of like, there's a scene in Batman Begins where he's like, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. And he like lets Ra's al Ghul just like get into a train wreck. It's like, all right, you know, so we're going to try to like nice up Nick Fury a bit, but like just kick the dude out of a moving vehicle. No big deal.
Yeah.
Surely he's fine.
There is one scene too, cutscene where they're scoping out a skyscraper where I think Kingpin is or something.
Yeah.
And
hotel.
Nick Fury's got like a rocket launcher and he's like looking at the rocket launcher and Punisher says something like really murdery. Yeah. And then Nick Fury's like, oh, let's try to keep the body count low. It's like, you're the one with the rocket launcher. You're telling the guy over there with the pistol, let's keep the body count low. I think you might need to evaluate your weaponry here.
Goodness. Right. Well, it's rubber bullets. That's all.
Okay. It's just one gigantic rubber rocket.
That's all my fun facts, Jordan. Are you ready to move into what the game does well?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
All right. For me, the number one thing about this game, and I'm going to fully admit here, as we talk about this game, it is going to be difficult for me to separate my feelings for the arcade version from the Sega Genesis version, but I'll do my best. But I think that something this game does really well, and we've already alluded to it a little bit, is that this is a faithful adaptation of the character, which is not always something that you get in a licensed game. And so I like that whether you enjoy the gameplay or not, this is the Punisher. He's going around, he's killing bad guys. You're using guns, you're using all sorts of weapons. He's just going to kill bad guys. And that's him. And like you get the story and the little title crawl sequence, and it is his comic accurate story. And it's like, okay, they didn't like blow the most easy thing, which is just portraying this character, which seems like a really low bar, but that's the bar that licensed games had set in the 90s.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say this was a faithful adaptation of the arcade game, and I was like, no, hold on.
Well, I'm just saying, like, think about like the Silver Surfer game. Like when you're a kid and you read a Silver Surfer comic and you're like, this is awesome. This is this dude who flies through space and there's a Galactus and there's all this crazy stuff. And then you play the Silver Surfer video game and he's fighting rubber duckies. And you're like, this is not the comic book that I read. So that's what I'm saying. Like, just it's a low bar, but we didn't have Frank Castle like going and fighting teddy bears, which is something that happens in Batman games. So it's like, why can't we just have these guys be who they are on the pages of the comics? And this game achieves that. And I want to say that's something that it does well.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about the Punisher. Like, I feel like I played an Xbox Punisher game.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I remember you could basically do fatalities in the game. And I was like, huh, this is pretty graphic, but it's like, it's never been, I've never known much about the Punisher. I've never
cared. Did really you watch the Netflix TV show?
No.
It's extremely graphic.
It doesn't sound
so, I mean, like, so is Daredevil. I remember watching Daredevil.
And I watched like 3 episodes of Daredevil.
It's extremely violent. So it'll be interesting to see Disney's take on Daredevil next year when it comes out in Disney Plus. Like, I don't think you're getting somebody's head squished in a door.
I feel like Disney surprises me with some of the stuff that they put out.
Yeah.
With like it being a little bit more adult oriented at times. I don't know that they're going to make something hyper violent, but I'm surprised at how much Disney doesn't seem to be shying away from content for adults and not kids.
Well, they make PG-13 movies. You can do a lot in a PG-13 movie or TV show.
I feel like that always surprises me too. Or just like sometimes Disney will catch me off guard. I'm just like, oh, all right, Disney, I see you.
Yeah.
And you see me. Interesting. Well done. The first thing that I have is that the boss fights don't suck in this game.
No. Yeah.
Which is like a classic, like beat 'em up trope is like garbage boss fights.
Yeah.
And so like, that was something that stood out to me about this game was just like, oh, I don't hate the boss fights, or they don't feel super cheap. They actually kind of feel easy. We played on normal.
Yeah. Which I think is a little bit easier than the arcade mode, like the default mode on the arcade game.
Well, you got easy, normal, hard, and expert.
Yep.
And then, you know, if you want to play like the Punisher, you have to play on hard according to the game.
Yeah, but so like you don't get the real credits. You don't get like the real ending when you beat it on normal. It's just like play it on hard to, you know, whatever. But then I'm wondering if you beat it on hard, are you going to get a message saying like, oh, only
play it like Nick Fury.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. It's like you have to actually play it on expert. And I was kind of bummed because in the arcade version, there's a pretty cool credit sequence where it'll put like, here's all the designers, put their name on screen, and then Nick and Frank jump on screen and they'll blow up all
Nick
the names.
Nick and Frank.
And Frank. We're on first name basis. Sorry. Fury and Castle will jump on the screen. And they blow up the names with grenades or rocket launchers, or they'll like kick it or whatever. It's like, it's kind of cool. And we didn't get to see it because we played it on normal mode, which you would think would be the mode you were meant to play it on because it's called normal.
Normal, right? For whatever reason, I'm thinking about Nick and Frank going out for corn dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just going, beating up shooting some thugs. Murder is completely justified when they have guns too. I forgot I was even thinking about. I was talking about boss fights. Then we got off of that. But why am I so distracted by the first names? Like, there's just something about it that completely.
You just don't. You don't think of these.
And now my brain is just like.
Just spent an hour murdering,
beach balling, trying to recover from that.
There's a reason he goes by the Punisher.
Oh, we're talking about the difficulties. Yeah, I have a point. Normal didn't feel overly difficult.
No.
I liked playing this on normal.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I agree. I do kind of miss playing it on the arcade machine where, you know, you die and a little cutscene comes up and it's a guy giving you like CPR and then you put another quarter in, or on the arcade one up, you just hit the credit button and you're back in. But, you know, this is fine too, I guess. Yeah. You know.
Although we did have to cheat to beat it. We almost ran out of our continues.
We got to the very last level right before the final boss and we each had like a portion of a health bar left and no lives or continues. So we did turn on some cheats just to get us through the end of the game, which again, doesn't happen on the arcade machine because you just throw another quarter or hit the button. And so, yeah.
The normal, like the cutscene thing is funny. The thoughts of like, remember a time when we felt incentivized to beat retro games so that we could see the ending.
Yeah.
Like what a different time to be a gamer.
I can't go on YouTube and see the credits. Like I beat this on normal.
Yeah.
The only way I'm going to see what this game has, like, what is this little cutscene, which might just be one non-animated screen,
you know, you're going to have to go and figure out how to beat it on hard. And then it's probably going to tease you and make you beat it on expert.
Man, what an unsatisfying thing in 2023.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, you want to show me the ending? Like, oh, thank you so much. But like, imagine if like that was what was driving, you know, that was a thing back then. Like you don't get the real ending unless you play it on the hardest difficulty, which is like,
yeah.
I like that, you know, maybe there's like some alternate.
You still kind of have that today, but like it'll be, there's alternate endings and it'll be a good ending and a bad ending and
extended, you know, ending.
Yeah. So that's still a thing today, but
yeah,
it goes beyond just like hiding one screen from you. There's an actual different gameplay experience that leads you to those different endings.
Sprites with text on the screen.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
Right. Jordan, another thing I have about this game that it did well is I feel full after playing this game. Like,
yeah.
It was like, all right, another 10 minutes and I'm like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
But like, I was satiated by this particular beat 'em up. Beat 'em ups can very easily overstay their welcome.
Yeah. It's,
and this one felt like it was really like just at the edge of that.
It's 6 levels. It's about an hour. It can be less than that because I beat it twice, once with the Punisher, once with Nick Fury. And those 2 playthroughs took me about an hour and a half. So, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's not going to, you know, just throw in some random goofy level just for the sake of eating up more quarters. It's like it knew what it was trying to do and it quit before it got too weird.
I mean, you were like, this is a really long hallway. And then like, I was like, does this game feel finished? Yeah, but it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel arbitrary.
No.
In a lot of ways. It's like, oh, this is the story.
You're going through the story. Going from point A to point B to kill a guy. That's the whole game.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah, you start on the street and you end up in the penthouse of an apartment building and you try to kill the kingpin.
It's funny how many ways you can skin that and sell it as a different title.
Yeah, that's also the story of Final Fight.
And the story of
also made Streets by of Rage.
And the story of basic... Well, Knights of the Round is like the medieval version of that.
Yeah.
Start
if
on the
only
street,
you ended on top a castle. Of a castle.
Yeah. Well, but you kind of... I think you, do you know?
Capcom made the same game 15 times in the 90s and we loved it.
River City Ransom. Start on the streets and then the roof of the school.
Yep.
It's why?
So I'll give you a little spoiler, Dan. That
a little
spoiler. If you get the ending, you blow up the building, the skyscraper, the whole thing collapses. And then it says when the police came and searched for bodies, they couldn't find the kingpin.
Again, a tale as old as time.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what you missed out on.
Man, it's too bad I only read that on the internet instead of seeing it. do you have anything else that the...
Yeah, I agree with you. The game is short and sweet. I don't think it needs to be any longer than it was. And although it does not live up to my hopes and dreams and the feelings that I have for the arcade game, it is a pretty faithful port as far as a home console goes.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to live up to the Capcom, what is that, the CPS-1 or whatever? It's not going to be the arcade game.
No.
And there are definitely things that are shortcomings, which we'll talk about in the next segment. But if you wanted to play this game at home, you're not like getting a terrible experience. Which a lot of times arcade ports were a terrible experience.
I feel like it was fine, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But,
it was fine. It was fine. Like it is, it's the same game at least.
Yeah.
It's just missing all of the nice polish.
I mean, it's like, I wish Konami would have been on the horn for this guy.
Yeah. Or on the horns, like for the music.
Oh gosh.
Which we'll also get to.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it.
You think that's it? I got one more little thing that kind of expands on stuff we've kind of talked about already.
That's
like that's the story and the idea of the game.
Yeah.
Like we kind of have discussed this, but like I do like that it feels like I know the mission. I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
I know why I'm doing it. I like I think this is a good canvas for a beat 'em up. Like, oh, a couple dudes just like murdering thugs. Like,
yep.
classic, to get to the big right? Thug. You know, and you're not complaining about it like Streets of Rage. Like, why is my character beating up teenagers? It's like, oh, well, these are bad guys. So
they are.
And they're trying. Yeah.
I'm not you just, never have to fight random people. Nobody ever steals or shrinks the Statue of Liberty. Nobody levitates all of Manhattan out of the ocean.
Look, you want to talk about not tales as old as time? Do you want to talk about Ninja Turtles? I could do, I mean, we could.
I honestly feel threatened in this room at the number of turtles glowering at me. I don't
glowering.
Feel safe.
Glowering. Yeah, I like that.
That is the face of glowering. The turtle that a Ninja Turtle makes. They do not smile. They glower? Do not scowl. They glower.
That's a good word. Where did...
This is,
that
what
word, is that the word of the day?
when you make fun of me for reading 120 books in a year, that's where you learn a word like glower. When you glower. Just read too many yeah. books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just admittedly that you read too many books. You're just like, I read too many books.
You
we could talk about
one
that
could say it. One could say that one I read
could,
too many
one
books.
One case could be made. All right, Jordan, I'm done. I'm done with the idea and the story of this game. Let's move on to what the game didn't do so well. All right, Jordan, are you ready to move on to the rest of our show?
I don't think because there's nothing bad to say about this one.
It's a perfect beat 'em up. It's one of the best on the console. I would put it head and shoulders above Hyper Persona Heist and Streets of Rage 2.
So, man, it is kind of a bummer. I do think it was fun. I do think it's a good game, but it definitely just doesn't come close to living up to the arcade experience. And unfortunately, I have just played it so much on the arcade machine because I had justified spending all the money on it. But one of the saddest things to me is like, now the music in the arcade game is not super remarkable. I don't know that I've ever really noticed it before. But what I can say is you do notice the music in the console port.
Not in a
good
way.
Because it is so bad.
Yeah.
It's like you made a joke at one point while we were playing that it sounds like the people who made the music for this game had never made music before.
Yeah.
Like they just literally picked one of the developers and were like, God, just try to make it happen.
Yeah, you need to program some of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
It's really
especially
bad.
Especially the last... when you're
the
fighting.
Final boss music.
Yeah, when you're at Kingpin, it's just like I said, it was like two levels above Bible Adventures, which is maybe the worst music in the history of anything we've played on this podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like random dissonance and you're like, it's the sound of New York. And I'm like,
yeah, okay. So
I don't care what the justification for why it's supposed to sound dissonant and terrible and random.
There's a movie that I had to watch in high school. And I really hope that none of you have had to watch this. It's called Kwanaskatsi. And it's this like artistic movie that's a lot of time lapses and it starts with all these nature shots and then it ends with like, and as the movie goes on, it shows like humans and like traffic and then it ends and it's showing like the chaos of humanity and like escalators and tons of people and all these time lapse shots are just like of the city and like all this. And so it's like you have like on one side this like peaceful music and nature and then on the other side like humanity and like super dissonant music. And that's what it reminded me of.
Okay.
If the person who made the super dissonant music of the city was like a toddler who had never seen an instrument before. It was just so incredibly bad. And even if we went and listened to the arcade version of that song, which is like kind of got this like jazzy orchestrated dissonance. Yeah, it has the dissonance to it, but you can tell that it was somebody who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, it has multiple instruments. It sounds like a piece of music. It doesn't sound like random MIDI just thrown together.
The music was bad, and not just in that level. It was just remarkably bad in every level.
Yeah, yeah. At times, it's just you don't notice it. It's one of those where it's just like, you're not humming the songs from the Punisher game.
No.
But at times, you're just like, man, this sounds bad.
I liked, sounds bad. There was one level where it had this little like triplet going up or down, and it sounded like you commented it sounded like picking up a coin in a game. Oh, yeah. But it's just happening randomly. It's not when you pick something up, it's just happening randomly. So you keep looking around and be like, did I pick something up?
Not randomly. It happened a lot.
No, yeah, I guess it was
just like rhythmically picking up coins. It's just like it was like bling, 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 bling.
Yeah.
Like, wait, it's what? Like,
are we doing it? Are we picking up stuff?
Literally.
So the music was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Music. I don't know. Okay, so I have the graphics down.
Yeah,
but,
really?
But here's the thing.
Okay.
This felt like a Streets of Rage 3 experience to me where, hold on.
Okay.
Where part of, I think, what happened was, oh, this game was made to be played on a CRT.
Yeah.
And so it got smoothed out. So, like, I feel like, you know, I don't know how many people at the time had, like, commented, like, oh, the game doesn't look as bad as you guys think it did.
Yeah.
It's made for a CRT. But there's something about the graphics that was like, oh, this game kind of hurts my eyes to look at times.
Some of the backgrounds were definitely
the backgrounds were the same colors. The pixels were super jagged. It didn't like look like nice pixel art. The animations or lack of animations, sometimes they're like, oh, you're holding a thing and your hand is like floating in the air. Or like you're holding a knife and your arm's like, just like this weird graphic stuff that I'm like, no.
You pick up like a M16 style rifle at one point, but they didn't like really animate your arms to hold a rifle. So it's kind of just like floating on top of your body. And the sad thing is the arcade version has these beautiful big sprites.
Yeah.
And you know, they could do that because they were not running off of a 16-bit Genesis. But yeah, so it, I don't think that they look terrible for a Genesis game. I mean, nothing even comes close to that like disco level in Streets of Rage 3. There wasn't
visually
like,
or audio.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about the Streets of Rage 3 soundtrack unless you really want to, because we could.
They're not good.
It's way worse than this soundtrack.
But they're not the worst that we've seen.
Yeah, no. I think I feel like the sprites are kind of on par with the game in general.
The sprites are better than Captain America and the Avengers. Those are some of the worst sprites in a game, but I still love that game.
I'm wondering what came first, The Punisher or Captain America and the Avengers, as far as arcade video games. I feel like Captain America probably came first.
Let's see. Captain America and the Avengers was 1991.
Like 2 years earlier. So that makes sense that the home ports of those would be a little...
Well, even the arcade version of Captain America and the Avengers doesn't have big, nice sprites. It's pretty similar to the Super Nintendo.
But it's four players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not two players.
And it's definitely doing a lot more than this game. It's longer. It has those shoot 'em up levels.
Yeah. Although I do feel like The Punisher looks like a way more satisfying, like... It's been a minute since I played Captain America and the Avengers, but I feel like the juiciness of Punisher is probably way higher than Captain America and the Avengers.
It does look better for sure.
But
I think for me, one of the big letdowns about this experience was one of my favorite things in the arcade game is everything in the level that's not a background is you can either pick it up or you can destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And so like... there's just so like the whole world is interactable and you're like this guy or these two guys, I guess, that are just these giant muscle dudes and you can like, I'm going to pick up this telephone booth and beat somebody to death with it. And in this game, you go up to a telephone booth
and you
punch it and it disappears. And you're like, oh, that's not great. I think that I was trying to count on the Wikipedia page. There's over 20 actual weapons in the arcade version. And then there's just like countless random objects on the screen that you can either destroy or use as a weapon. And then in the Sega version, you have eight.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't, it just doesn't feel as full. It doesn't feel as fleshed out. So the world that you're playing in just doesn't feel as real. I don't know. Yeah. It just doesn't feel as good.
Yeah. That plays into one of my points. And like in a lot of ways, this game feels bland. The Genesis port feels bland. Like the soundtrack doesn't really like pump. Like at least in Streets of Rage, you've got these like pumping soundtracks, right?
Yeah. The first two.
Sometimes the enemy waves, like there was one part where it's just like, how many waves of enemies do we have to fight in the same spot before we just like go through this door? Or like we almost ran out of time in one section. It was like, wait a minute, what? Like what? Like why are we running out of time? Not that that's bland, but I think it's more of like the pacing can be weird. But a lot of times like this game just slips into that sort of like, in my mind, it was kind of like Power Rangers, the movie for Genesis, where it's like, this is a perfectly playable beat 'em up. But at times I'm just like, this isn't Streets of Rage 2.
Yeah.
This isn't Hyperstone Heist. Like there's something about this game that I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. That's how I feel about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I hate that as a fan of beat 'em ups. A fine beat 'em up makes me sad.
It kind of like there's that G.I. Joe beat 'em up coming out.
Oh gosh.
And you watch the trailer and you're like, there's just nothing about this that makes me have any sort of emotional feeling, good or bad.
The G.I. Joe trailer makes me so sad because it feels so obviously like you have Shredder's Revenge and Streets of Rage 4 coming out. And those games are like, these are phenomenal beat 'em ups made by huge fans of those franchises. And that's why they came out and like people love them, is because they were made by people who really like these need to exist. And then the G.I. Joe owners or whatever, whoever has the licensing, I don't Bandai. Know, still Hasbro or whatever.
Hasbro,
they're like,
whatever,
that sold well. Like, we should do that.
Let's go
and then let's
and
go
hire
contract it out to some random developer
on Fiverr.
Like,
that's what it looks like.
That's a thing people will buy, right? And it's like, y'all don't get it. Like, it'd be different if it was made by like hardcore G.I. Joe nerds, because then it would probably be great. But it's just like the trailers. Yeah, it's like that G.I. Joe game just like,
hey, nope. Maybe it'll come out and it'll be amazing. But it just, we're not getting that vibe from trailer.
That's bad licensing, which really hurts me, because we're in an era where licensed games should be good.
Yeah,
they just should be.
Which goes back to my whole thing with Marvel, like, and Star Wars games too, to some extent. It's like, how are you not making amazing games in these worlds that people love?
You talk to me about bad Star Wars games. What have we got?
Well, I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying we don't get Star Wars games. You get mobile Star Wars games. When was the last big AAA?
That is true. That is true. The Jedi Fallen Order sequel came out recently.
Okay.
Jedi Survivor? The Dark Souls Jedi game, which I played some of first one.
There should be a big AAA Star Wars game coming out every
year. You don't know because you are just like on Switch. And Switch
you literally are listening to all these games that don't exist in my world. But whatever.
Because it needs to run on more than a PS2 level.
Man, it would be a real shame to make games for the console with the largest user base. That would be an insane thing to do. Okay. Why would we ever do that? Right. We should only make them on the ones with the best graphics.
They do make mobile games.
That was good. I like that. That was good. All right. I have
the
one last thing.
Largest user base. Whatever. Go home.
Everyone's got a Switch. Every one of my students has a Switch. Some of them have multiple Switches in their houses. I'm just saying, like, you are missing out on a gigantic audience when you say, we're only making games for PS5. It's like, okay, the five people who own one will really love it, I'm sure.
Five people.
Yeah.
Five people, even though I'm there's fairly sure it's the fastest selling.
The same number
console.
Of people own PlayStation 5s as there are people who wear jean shorts in their shower. That's what I'm saying. It's the same. It's like if you did a Venn diagram.
What is happening right now?
You never watched Arrested Development?
No. Jordan,
one of the main characters.
There's an over 99% chance that when you say, have you ever watched, name a TV show, that the answer for me is no.
I've just been making references from this TV show for the entirety of this podcast, and I was hoping that you understood what I was saying. There's a guy who never wants to ever not have clothes on. And so even when he showers, he wears jean shorts. And he says that there are literally dozens of them.
Yeah. Okay.
So whenever I reference, there's literally dozens of us.
Okay.
That's a reference to that.
Yeah. When you were telling me back to let's talk about the Switch little bit. You were like, the stuff leaked. It's the Nintendo Split. And I was like, oh, it's a flip phone now? Like, as a joke. And you're like,
Kinda.
I'm like, no. But then he got me excited because I'm like, DS games, please. Just sell me DS games on modern Nintendo hardware.
What if we made a really big DS that split into two?
Right.
Now, this could end up being completely nothing. And by the time this comes out, no one's gaming. But, you know, remember when the Switch was coming out, they leaked like that super goofy patent that was like a glass
cardboard
oval? No. It was like, do you remember this?
Cardboard VR, maybe?
It was a glass oval where it had joysticks embedded in the screen, but the whole thing was a screen, and like your joysticks were like on the screen.
I don't remember that.
And they're like, well, this is our patent for a handheld console. And then it comes out and the Switch doesn't look anything like that. So we have the patent drawing for what might be the next Nintendo console, but it's probably going to come out and not be anything like a flip phone. It's going to be as close to a flip phone as the Switch is to a glass oval.
Flip phones are hilarious to me. Like, that is a trend coming back that is like so funny to me.
I have a bunch of friends who are like, I'm sick of like always being connected, always being online, and so I got a dumb phone. It's like, I'm kind of jealous of you.
Like, I think about the phases of smartphones. Like, we went through the phablet phase where your phones were the size of iPads.
Dude, we were in Taiwan when that was a thing. And you literally saw people carrying around their phones and it looked like a large paperback.
They went all out, man.
Goodness. And then, yeah, now we're like, how do we, remember flip phones? How do we modernize that concept? Like, okay.
Hey,
I'm going to have my iPhone for 5 years until it can't update to the latest version of iOS. And then I'll buy whatever the current iPhone is at the time.
You know how Nintendo always, like, they do some cool stuff, but then they also do things that are just incomprehensible.
They do the cool stuff occasionally. They do.
Could you see them launching this giant flip phone and then be like, oh yeah, we're also selling, it has 5G service and you can, this can be your cell phone. And it's like, yeah, it would be the most Nintendo thing. And it's not an option. You have to have that part of it.
Of course. How is Nintendo going to shoot themselves in the foot after the success of the Switch?
They made this really cool console, but I have to pay a data plan every single month for it.
The controller only fits in one hand. There's no two-handed option for the controller.
No, that's what the split is. You get one console on each hand.
you get one Joy-Con and the other one is a tablet, a touchscreen tablet that you have to
use to control the games. Was one of the like early drawings of the Wii U, I feel like. No. It was like a nunchuck attached to an iPad.
I'm afraid of how real this could be.
The Switch is within a year.
The split is going to be a Joy-Con that slaps onto a touchscreen,
but it's wired like a nunchuck.
The touchscreen flips up. it's a DS where you only push buttons with one hand.
Yeah, and you have to use a stylus.
The touchscreen is for
you have to use a stylus in your other hand. It's great.
No, this sounds.
And you know what? We'll love it, and it'll sell.
You'll love it.
140 million.
You'll love it, and then everybody will buy two copies of the first Zelda game that comes out for it.
Oh, man.
Do you remember when there were more copies of Breath of the Wild sold than there were Switches?
Yeah, because people couldn't get them, man. Not everybody was as lucky. Launch day.
Jordan,
Dan.
Oh, got a couple more points in this.
Okay.
The slow movement speed, didn't enjoy the game feel. It kind of plays into like some of the blandness like this. And I think I saw criticisms of that as maybe the failure of this as a port was just like, oh, it slowed the movement speed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Just doesn't feel, there's not a lot of depth to the controls. Yeah. The game plays a little bit slow. And I'm like, and then maybe that plays into the other point that I have, which is like, at times I found myself not paying attention.
And it's a beat 'em up. Yeah, you don't really need you can give half your brain to something else.
Yeah, but I don't like that in a game. Like, and part of why I'm not paying attention is like, when a game has a deep system,
like Battletoads. Think of the new Battletoads.
Oh my gosh,
it had lots of systems. Maybe
I don't
too
remember,
many.
But the only good Battletoads game.
Yeah,
Battletoads 2020.
You don't remember there was like all these multiple systems that you were constantly like working towards and you could activate this one.
Well, there's a variety of gameplay in that Battletoads game, which is also nice. That's a good game. People, I think that might be the least downloaded episode that we have is our Battletoads 2020 episode.
Yeah.
But it's the one good Battletoads game out there. So go play that, people.
There are things you can do to cause irreparable harm to a franchise. And I think that every Battletoads game before the 2021 probably did irreparable harm to that franchise.
I don't know, man. People like that game. Plus, you can get you can get the game for like $5. And I think it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I played it on Game Pass for free.
Go play that. Anyways. This game is fine. It's fine. And that is not a great thing for me because I can recommend games that aren't just fine.
Yeah, I think pretty much every single complaint I have about this game is exclusive to the console version, except for one. And that's my last point here. And that is that other than Kingpin, you probably won't recognize a single other character from this game besides, you know, like Punisher, Nick Fury, and Kingpin. And it's like, you are drawing from one of like the richest and longest universes with all these characters. You can pull in anybody you want, and we have one recognizable bad guy. His arch nemesis Jigsaw is like pops up for about 5 seconds as a normal bad guy who you can kill with like three punches, not a boss, not a sub boss or a mini boss. So it's like, that just kind of feels like a miss to me when you have all of these characters you could have drawn from, and you picked like characters that maybe were popular in the comic at the time in the 90s, but weren't from the like the long history of the Marvel Universe and haven't really established themselves as people going forward.
Yeah, I was, I think you brought that up while we were playing, and I had mentioned like now, like at the time, a licensed game, they're like, here, go make the thing.
Yeah.
Now publishers would probably shy away from it unless it's made by super fans. So like the Spider-Man game or like the Arkham series or like a lot of these licensed titles that are coming out now, like they have an appreciation for the characters and the lore.
Yeah.
And even the MCU is another great example of like when people really love a thing.
Yeah.
It gets, you know, made well. And this feels like an example of like, who's the thing in the Punisher? And again, me as a casual Marvel fan, you're talking about Kingpin, and I'm like, wait, he's in Punisher? He's in Daredevil? He's a Spider-Man villain?
Any of the street-level New York guys fight Kingpin.
Is Kingpin, like, bigger than I realize? Is a villain in Marvel comics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kingpin's a big deal.
Okay. He's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He, at one point, is the mayor of New York.
I basically only associate him with Spider-Man. But it's not like Hobgoblins like making its way into every Marvel franchise, right? You mentioned Jigsaw. I'm like, who is Jigsaw?
No. I'm not saying he's a big character. I'm saying he is like the Punisher's main bad guy. I don't want to say anything about him because everything about him is a spoiler if you haven't seen the TV show. But yeah, like, I'm not saying he's a big character, but like his main villain is there for about 5 seconds. Then we get like Guard Droid, which is just a robot. And there's a dude who's like half tank,
pretty
half
boy,
human. I honestly can't even remember
Breaker,
most of the bosses.
Breaker. What's his name? Tank Minotaur.
Tank guy. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so that's my complaint that applies to both the arcade version and the console version is that there's just not many familiar faces.
Yeah. Well, that's Punisher. Not many people are familiar with the faces.
Just the skull like logo.
He's got that. I mean, he does have that going on.
He does. Yeah.
He's got a good t-shirt. He's got good merch potential. Jordan, let's move on.
All right. Let's move on
to the rest of our show.
All right, Dan, what would you pay for the experience that you just had with the Punisher?
Oh, man. I love beat 'em ups, Jordan.
You do.
And I love Genesis. I mean, it's my favorite console of all time. I mean, I've talked about it a lot in the history of this podcast.
That's not true.
I am historically a Sega fanboy. can't wait for Sonic Colors to come out.
What?
What? it's an old Sonic game. what would I pay for Punisher? $5, $6, $6
Oh no. So I paid $60 for it.
$60.
And it is a pretty rough copy.
Yeah, it's somebody stomped on it and like tore the label off and like
it looks
threw
like
it in the trash and then thought about putting it on eBay instead.
It looks like the Punisher taped it to his chest and then played, like, went through this whole battle with rocket launchers.
A kid
and
wanted a Punisher sticker.
Yeah.
For his Hot Wheels
the label
car
off.
Ripped the label off.
Yeah. It's a rough copy and I paid $60 for it. So, yeah that's not great. So, for me, what would I pay for the experience of this? I would go and play my arcade machine and just leave this one on the shelf. So with that being said, Dan, what do you think that this game is going for?
These days,
today, man. Of all days.
Yeah. Today of all days.
Yeah.
Is it Punisher Day? Is there some reason? Do people?
No, but it is.
Big announcement?
It is the day that we played the Punisher and the day that I looked up the price charting number.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there's no Punisher.
It's International Punisher Day today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't they make a movie about that called The Purge or something?
I think that's just National Punisher
that's
Day.
National
that's a different
Punisher Day.
Yeah, it's a different one.
Man, I feel like my gut is probably undershooting this one because I feel like it's in the 70s, but it's probably, I want to say, in the 90s.
You think I got a $10 discount for the state that game is in?
Yes, I do. Because I remember the story was like the guy didn't want to. You didn't you like haggle him down a little bit?
I did haggle him down, yeah.
So the 60s was from like haggling him down after he was trying to sell it for, and I think some in the 70s. Let's go with $95.
Okay, so Loose is currently going for 113.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Complete, 354.
Mm-mm. Nope.
And if you're in the PAL region, do you want to give a guess for PAL Loose?
170.
305.
No, stop it.
$305 on the Mega Drive.
Stop. If
for some reason you managed to have a complete copy, $644. So if you are going through a box of stuff and you find this game from when you were a kid,
happen to have a PAL copy of it.
Congrats. You should sell that. And you could literally buy the arcade machine.
Oh my God.
If you sold the loose PAL copy. So there you go. Yeah. There you go. That's sad. So I think that both of us are going to say that the Genesis version is 100% worthless. No caveats, no appeal to cultural anything. It's just, holy cow, not worth it.
If you need this in your collection, I'm sorry.
If you need this in your collection, you should seriously just go buy the arcade one-up machine, because you also get, well, depending on which version you buy. Wow. I got it when it was just Marvel Super Heroes and Children of the Atom on it, which are two fighting games that I don't really care about. But then they also released additional versions of it that have Captain America and the Avengers. They released one that has like War of the Gems, which I think is a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you can get this in a lot of different configurations from Arcade 1-Up, and the arcade version is awesome. Highly recommend it. If you ever see one in the wild, go get you some quarters and have a good time.
Yeah, I am sitting here reflecting on how I have healed some of my OCD FOMO collecting in recent years. And at some point, I would have needed the Punisher. And I'm glad I've broken away from some of that more expensive, like, I have to buy the thing to play it.
I want you to know, because you, in the past, Dan, you have said, I've said, you should just sell Snow Bros. And you're like, I can't. It was a gift. I want to right here.
It was not a gift.
Snow Bros?
So, no, because that if I sell, no. I got a really good deal on Snow Bros. I got it from my brother-in-law for $100.
Okay. Well, all right. You've said in the past you couldn't sell a so-and-so game because it was a gift. Maybe Batman Forever?
No, it's not that. Okay.
Okay, but I just
it's not that I can't sell games because they're a gift. It's that if I sell games because the way that I play games is legit. Yeah. And if I don't have it in my collection, I can no longer play it. That's the rule in my head.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. And so it's like I would rather have access to a game in a legit way than to get rid of it.
Okay.
So it's more interesting to me to like build a library from an interesting standpoint. And I may even like get off of that sort of like sense of like, maybe I should just sell Snow Bros, like whatever.
I just wanted to give you permission, Dan.
Some of
my
journey, Jordan, is healing and letting go.
Good deal.
Of things that I don't necessarily need anymore. But
I just want you to know, I'm not going to take it personally if you sell this game.
I sell the Punisher.
You didn't enjoy it. It's worth a lot of money.
Maybe it'll be a birthday gift for you.
Oh, goodness. No, I gave it to you. I don't want it.
And then you can put it on top of your arcade cabinet.
Oh, dang.
And like,
in cleaning out our house of all the stuff to make room for the baby, I keep finding games. I have more games to bring you.
You brought me some DS bangers the other day.
There were actually a couple of good ones in there. Clubhouse Games is a legit good game.
I forget what else he brought me. It was like
FIFA 11.
FIFA 11 for the DS.
Tony Hawk, American Wasteland or something like that. Come on.
Dan, take these games. Because they're games, I'll be like, all right.
Yeah, you have to take it.
Exactly what we were just talking about. I'll build a library of games. Yeah. I don't care.
I think I found a Game Boy Advance version of Pac-Man or something. So it's yours. It's all yours. I don't want it.
I feel like the GBA, like the way that GameCube kind of blew up in the last 5 to 10 years where people like really got into it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm there with GBA where I'm like, I think there's a lot more interesting on this console than I ever realized.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, come on, Nintendo, put out more than 12 games on the Switch Online service. Or like,
there's so many.
I feel like the GBA, maybe I'm coming around and maybe this is a huge mistake because of what I was just talking about. Like, oh, I just want to check out GBA games and I think GBA collecting got expensive. But
well, at least they're small. They're not going to take a lot of space.
It's not about space.
The practical aspect.
Take a lot of,
All right. Dan, I got some trivia. I got a little trivia for you.
Hit me with it.
Did you read the manual?
No.
Oh, perfect. All right.
Oh, perfect.
So, Dan.
Look at him. You should see him. I got see a little, what it's like to be in the same room with this person.
I'm glowering at you.
Glowering.
No, I'm smirking. All right.
Pretentiously looking down from his ivory tower of like.
Wait, okay. Time out. Just
a foot taller than me.
Just because I'm taller than you doesn't mean I'm in an ivory tower.
If nobody's ever seen us, I'm actually 5'1" and Jordan is 6'6". So there's always this like.
Neither this of those are true. I'm 6'1" and you're 5'6".
Patronizing, like, not only is he always throwing shade at me, he's always looking, literally looking down on me.
Oh my gosh.
Physically and metaphorically.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm vertically challenged and he's a giant.
I'm like 4 inches taller than you.
I don't think it's 4 inches.
How tall are you?
5'20".
Okay.
5'7".
And I'm 6'1". I'm 6'1" and a half. All right. I used to be 6'2", but I'm shrinking.
You're shrinking? I'm getting old. Getting old.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, here we go. Eating wall chicken and street meat is a regular... I thought I could get through that. These are things.
What are we talking about here?
This is a game.
Cleaning up the streets.
Eating food off the streets is a regular part of retro movies. Would you agree, right? It's a regular part. You punch a wall.
It is an interesting trope, yes.
Most of the food that you get out of this game is you punch a trash can and now there's a full cooked turkey there.
Or a phone booth.
Yeah. So,
why is turkey in a phone
eating
booth?
Food off the ground is a regular part of retro video games, but this game's manual actually justifies the Punisher's appetite for
get
food found on the ground. Yeah, they justify. Why is he eating all this food off the ground? What reason is given for Frank's penchant for consuming...
Frank's penchant for Franks that he finds on the street.
What reason is given for Frank's penchant for consuming random food on the ground?
Frank likes ballpark Franks.
All right. Is it A... Frank's only superpower is a fast metabolism that allows him to convert food into health. Okay. Is it B, Frank refuses to eat a home-cooked meal until he avenges the death of his wife? Is it C, as a military man, Frank was desensitized by all the disgusting military rations that he had to eat? Or is it D, Frank is just a really big Castlevania fan?
All of those sound equally ridiculous of them trying to explain this mechanic in a way that like makes sense. The home cooking meal thing sounds interesting, but it sounds made up.
Oh,
but
it is a comic book story. It's all made up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to break.
No, I mean like you made it up.
Oh, yes. I'm not on the level of a 90s comic book writer. Oh boy. That might be the most underhanded thing you've ever said about me. I've read a lot of 90s comics.
Now you just sent me off the rails thinking about 90s comics.
Yeah.
Is
it his fast metabolism?
Fast metabolism.
His refusal to eat a home cooked meal until he avenges the death of his wife, or his military experience desensitizing him by all the disgusting rations that he had to eat?
I'm going to go with the military experience, but the home cooked meal thing sounds like a dumb explanation for this that would be in a video game menu.
And it's not because he was a Castlevania fan?
I mean, Konami and Capcom did a lot in the past. Konami should have made this game.
Yeah.
The home port of it, I should say.
Yeah.
The arcade port is like...
Well, the home port wasn't really even made by Capcom. It was... somebody else.
Oh, just published by Capcom?
Yeah, it was made by...
No, I think it was developed by Capcom. No, unless it was just... No. I'm pretty sure the Wikipedia page said this was developed and published by Capcom.
No.
So they didn't...
Here we go. Wikipedia.
Here we go.
Is loading...
This podcast is brought to you by Wikipedia.
Version.
Not sponsored, but...
Sculptured software.
They made...
Developed by Sculptured Software, published by Capcom.
So the arcade version was developed by Capcom, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sculpture. So why do I know that from Genesis stuff?
Let's see what
they. Anyways.
Anyway.
What are we talking about? We're talking about Frank eating a home cooked meal to leave avenges his wife. Well, when is his revenge done? He kills Kingpin.
Oh, Sculpture became a claim.
Ah,
there you go. Yeah. So they made lots of stuff.
They apparently made this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying the military.
The military.
Yes. From the manual, it says, I swore I'd never eat another sea ration once I got out of the service. And that's one promise I've managed to keep. Now, when I'm on a mission, I end up eating on the run. It's not exactly dinner at the Waldorf, but it manages to keep my strength up.
Flip my hair. I'm so angry.
Yeah, so you got it. Right. You got it.
Nailed it. 100% still. Never missed a
never missed a single trivia question. It's crazy.
I am the game master.
Man, we have bad memories, but I'm pretty sure you've never missed one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I have a photogenic memory.
It took me a second. Wait a minute. That's not the same.
Oh, man. All right, Jordan. Do you have anything else before we head out of here?
I don't know. I think that's going to do it. I'm glad we got to play this game. It's been on the list for a while, and it was a good discussion, even if the game didn't live up to what I hoped it would.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like one of the things I appreciate about you as a gamer is...
You should have done air quotes around that, I think.
Gamer. Well, no, you do have a very different perspective. Like, Roller Coaster Tycoon is a game that I enjoy because of you. You enjoy Roller Coaster Tycoon because your brain is wired a certain way, I think.
I feel like...
I appreciate that.
I feel like I got some skepticism when we talked about doing Roller Coaster Tycoon, and it jumped into be one of our most popular episodes of all time. So there's lots of people.
There's lots of people who enjoy it. But like the fact that you love like Captain America and the Avengers just because it is what it is, like I feel like there are parts of that that I'm like, oh, I appreciate that about you.
Yeah.
Like you can see the IP of something and... And like it for what, for that. I don't even know what I was trying to say.
I don't either. Like, but thanks you. Thank
I like
you for
that
we
covered
me.
I like that you like the Punisher. And thanks. I like that I experienced this vicarious enjoyment of the arcade game through you.
Yeah. And I want to clarify. I like the Punisher arcade game. I'm not like a big Punisher guy.
He is the Punisher sticker guy.
I kind of liked his TV show. It was a little bleak at times.
A little
but
bleak.
Yeah.
A little on brand.
I liked the Daredevil show a lot and then just kind of got sucked into the rest of those shows, except for I couldn't finish Iron Fist. That was bad.
I started Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I got three episodes into it, but again, I'm so busy.
Yeah. Most of the time, you're not missing out on watching shows
is not a thing, but anyways, I'm glad I got to experience this because of you.
Yeah.
So check that one off the list.
Check.
Jordan, next episode going to be Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
A Legend
do you see what they did
Zelda.
There? A Link to the Past.
Yeah. Oh.
Because
it is going back and it's connected
it's like
to
a chain.
Yeah,
it's like
I get
a chain.
It now. I get
so,
it.
So
and also the green guy's name is Zelda. And so the Legend of Zelda references his name.
What?
We were making connections about how it linked to the past.
Because
the game connects to the past.
What green guy are you talking about?
And from Zelda. Zelda the green guy with the pointy ears and the blonde hair.
The green guy.
And he wears green. And he's connected
to
the...
skin is green.
He's connected...
It's everybody. Goblin.
What? What is that?
The goblins. You don't remember how the Teen Girl Squad is in the original Legend of Zelda?
Oh, no. They are?
Yeah.
I can't wait to play this game. This is the original one, right? Because it's a path in the past?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. So you burn down a bunch of bushes, and then you find the Teen Girl Squad, and they say, it's a secret to everybody.
I can't wait.
We haven't talked about the Teen Girl Squad in too long.
No, it's been
too long since Homestyle Wana made an appearance on this podcast.
Yeah.
Go watch that. Don't turn this off and go watch some Homestar Runner.
Yeah.
Or play Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People on your PlayStation Plus Premium.
Can I do a shout out? A shout out? I don't know if it's a shout out. A recommendation. If you're like, man, I wanna watch a funny, like flash animated it's not even flash animated. I wanna watch a funny cartoon on the internet, but Homestar Runner's not being made anymore. Well, this also isn't being made
anymore.
Candy
Mountain Charlie.
No. I stumbled across this show on YouTube called Box Peak. And it's like making fun of old like American children anime like Pokemon.
Okay.
And it's this world where everybody plays this game called Box Peek. And the way it works is you're inside of a box. And if you can poke your head up and look at the opponent's box for 3 seconds, you win. But if they pop up and see you peeking, you lose. And that's the whole show. And it is so funny. It's really well made. It's made with like cutout, like paper cutouts and like stop motion animated. It's incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have my attention.
Box Peek. It's got a similar humor to Homestar Runner.
Okay. Good. I'll you've convinced me. Thank
There's
you.
Only like 6 episodes.
Thank you for recommending. How long are they?
Like 5-10 minutes maybe?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You can watch the whole thing in like an hour.
Oh man. That's great.
And your kid would love it too.
I got sucked into the not so great Twisted Metal show, which is great in its own way.
A live action game or live action show based on a PlayStation 1 game.
Yes. And it's one of those shows where I'm watching it going, this is dumb, but I like it, even though I know it's completely dumb.
That's everything I enjoy.
Self-aware, but they got me because the episodes were like 20-22 minutes. So I was like, ooh, I'm in.
Really?
One season, 20-minute episodes.
With the Falcon?
The Falcon.
Sorry, Captain America? He's Captain America now. You're not caught up on stuff, but he's Captain America now.
Jordan, I do not care about any character that Marvel, and to their credit, they get me to care about characters that I didn't, like the Guardians of the Galaxy are a perfect example. Like nobody cared about them until they made a movie and they did a great job.
No one even liked raccoons or trees before that movie came out.
Yeah. And so whatever. So I probably would like it, but I'm just like, man, you're talking about the Falcon. I don't care about the Falcon.
Well, he's,
I don't
want to watch no he's Falcon Captain show. America now.
He is now, but I'm like, this is not the Captain America from the Avengers video game.
I was like, where are you going with this? Okay. All right. The joke came out eventually.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Let's land this. We'll, anything else before we get out of here?
No.
Okay.
Do you want my review of the Captain America and the Winter Soldier?
No, I just want to send people off with something really nice. So just send people off with really nice and then they'll say goodbye.
All right, everyone, I want you to just know that you are special. You're worth it. What are you worth? It. And that's what you need to remember sometimes. And if you ask yourself, you wake up one morning and you're like, "It today, am I?" And then you can tell yourself, I am.
Jordan, I feel like I really love the message that you're saying right now, but you're saying it in a way that's like half joking. And I'm like, no, actually people do matter. They should love themselves.
Listen, I am a professional public speaker and that might've been some of my best work.
Is that?
And I didn't even get paid for it.
Is that because of the podcast? Is that? we are professional public speakers because we have a podcast.
Yeah, no, that's not why, but I just feel like people sometimes don't know that they really are.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
And like sometimes I'll like think like, am I? And then I have to be reminded like, am.
This is a perfect place to introduce the fact that Jordan's going to be starting a motivational podcast. All right, we'll see you guys in Link to the Fast.
Bye.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, we'd greatly appreciate it if you left us a rating or review wherever you're listening and if you shared the show with other retro gaming fans in your life. If you're looking for more retro gaming content, check out worthitorworthless.com where you can find things like reviews, guides, game recommendations, and of course, all of our relevant links. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks.